Welcome to the Forestable Podcast.
Oh, we're on. I'm going to confidently say four.
Yep.
Cool.
What are we talking about today, Lewis?
We are going to talk about the benefits of long-term sessions over short-term things. Because I think for a lot of people, the FSA puts up stuff that's like, must be long-term, must be this much. Mm-hmm. But they don't have a huge amount of discussion about why. It's kind of left to you and your trainer, isn't it, to tell you why.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd just, yeah.
Yeah, I think they just say so that you can see change through the seasons, I think.
Yeah, for the children's benefit, they say it's...
Yeah.
That's the kind of easiest, quick connection, isn't it?
Yeah, and that is one of the key... parts of the forest school ethos, isn't it? There has to be long term. So you can't actually call it forest school unless it is long term. And it was originally 6 weeks, and now they say it's 12 or something.
That sounds right. Yeah.
I think.
And it's 12. I think it's 12 continuous. But it doesn't have to be weekly. Could be. I think it's 2 weekly they'll allow.
Yeah. So the idea being that it's the same group and the same leader
location.
And the same location.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whether that's meeting fortnightly or whatever.
But I think there's more to be said. So we were saying that it's quite nice, before we get to why it's good, that it is nice as someone who is connected and kind of representing the brand, having come from teaching, where teaching, I think, 20, 30 years ago was a very different thing, and it's a bit slowly, slowly catchy monkey, do you know, it's changed, whereas... There are people who are very diligently and sometimes very aggressively will say what you're doing is not forest school.
Yeah, and defending it and sticking to the principles.
But then that makes it feel very different to know that we could do forest school for the next 30, 40 years and we'll be doing small group stuff. It's not a case of like, oh, the pressures will force us to do this and the pressure, you know, as long as the community is strong enough to... It's a bit like crossing a picket line, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I was exactly thinking the same thing. It's a union, isn't it? Well, it's not actually a union, but the FSA sort of plays that role in a way, and the more that you become involved with the FSA and meet up with practitioners sort of locally and nationally, the more you have that discussion and it keeps, you know, being live. And I know some people find it quite difficult,
Some people are more... isolated than others, aren't they? If you let's say if you don't go and see other forest school practitioners, you could be convinced that your actions are very negligible and it doesn't matter if I take on this school group of 35 on my own because I'm doing it and it's fine, it doesn't matter if I'm doing some one-offs calling them forest school, but actually those are the little chips that eventually
erode
the
and it depends on your financial situation as well, doesn't it?
We have to compromise in places, but
we're lucky now that we're in the position to be able to turn clients down because they aren't able to provide us with a session that is true forest school, and like we're very fortunate to be able to do that, and we've got our actual site where
I think that's equally as important when you start out, is to... A bit like I was saying before, like not taking on, I was saying in the ones where we were saying, what would you say to yourself? And I said, don't take on jobs that aren't this.
Yeah.
And so it is very easy to go, I'm starting out and maybe I'll stop eventually. But then, I don't know. So thinking about our benefit, the fact that it's long term means you can just have such a better quality relationship with all of the children.
Yep. And the parents, any other adults that are helping.
I think the longer it is, it's almost a direct relationship of the longer term a session is, the less coercive you need to be with the children.
I was thinking exactly the same
thing.
That's
the trade-off, isn't it? Of like, if you are there for... So we have some school groups come up for one day and it's not for a school, because it's not for a school and it's all the other things. Because it's short term, you have to be coercive and you have to be a bit teachery to say, you know, it's almost clapping your hands and go, come on guys, everybody sit down, let's go, come on, we've got to move on to the next thing. Whereas our home ed group that's been going for a year and a bit now, they're here all the time. We know it's basically going to be the same kids every week. if they have a passing interest in something for 10 minutes, it's as valid as if they have a month-long obsession with building a new thing or moving a whatever it is, and you don't feel the pressure. Maybe it's that way, isn't it? Maybe it's I don't feel the pressure to push them into something, and you do.
And
just...
they know that. They don't have that... I think that kind of influences behaviour as well, which we've talked about before, where you might get a child who is presenting with some quite challenging behaviour in the early stages of visiting forest school, and then as they begin to understand that it is a long-term process and they will be here again next week, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that, the change you see in that child, that whatever anxieties or issues they might have that's making them present in a certain challenging way, just seem to melt away, and they get that, you know, that sort of panicky thing of like, oh my gosh, I'm outside and I'm at forest school and I've got to do this and all of these things are mine, and you know, all those kind of relationship issues between themselves or members of staff or us, you know, seem to just melt. It's really...
And quite often those, thinking about those, because they're stresses, aren't they? They're stresses that children go through.
Yeah.
And in a lot of settings, if I was being very controversial, I would say that they're artificial. They don't have to be there. From my point of view, I would say it's like that idea of, oh, we need to stop now because we're moving on.
Yeah.
And actually, if you were completely objectively looking at the benefit of learning, there is probably more benefit in letting them carry on.
Completely.
Than trying to force in another subject where you've got all that stuff of like a big, you know, like that, what do they say? It's like a brain shift, you know, when you have to mentally pack away everything you've just done to get it out.
And for some children, that's incredibly difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And so for the children where it's easy, they almost become the benchmark, don't they? That becomes normal, especially in a school environment. And so any child that can't do that is instantly labelled as the naughty child or the child with, you know, that needs a label. And actually that is perfectly normal for a child developmentally to be putting out, there's that image, isn't there, that was doing the rounds of
it's tendrils, isn't
tendrils of thought. And actually it's painful to be ripping those tendrils out of, you know, all the interaction and the focus and the concentration. And really, what are we doing to children if we're saying no, you cannot, you know, they're
well, we're
showing
encouraging
this focus, aren't they?
A shallow level of intention, because we're saying don't get too invested in anything, because I will decide when you have to finish this, which is really then artificial. Well, I'm using that word, but I think it's not representative of then you go out into, in air quotes, the real world. Mm. And I would say most jobs now, any sort of creative job, very much, you know, can you, how long can you work on this for? How long can you, and we've got no attention span because we go through a lot of situations where we don't have to. Whereas doing, like you're saying, doing a long-term session, I mean, you can encourage an entire, you know, and we're very vocal. It takes, I would say, sometimes the parents have to get on board, particularly if the parents that come to the sessions with their kids, it takes them a little bit of time as well to get on board with, it's okay, you know, you are going to be here a really long time.
Yeah.
And it is okay for them to just want to run around for the 2-hour session. Okay, fine. Yeah. Like, cool. Because what you can't appreciate is all the, well, what's not obvious, I'll say, is all the other bits they're picking up. Like, as they're running, they're getting a mental map of the site.
Yeah.
Or as they're running, they are starting to, they're noticing that, oh, there's an animal thing there, it wasn't there. Or they're building a relationship with whoever they're chasing or being chased by. And all the stuff that, you know, on the face of it, you might go, oh, well, they're doing 2 hours of running and they didn't join in with the painting or with the singing or with the whatever, and you're going, no, but they're getting what they need to.
Yeah.
To, you know, that's that thing. Children, I think, will always show you what they need. Mm-hmm. It's whether you are in a place to...
Thank you.
yeah, whether you're in a place to read those signals and have the freedom to like respond to what they're telling you, rather than, you know, you could be in a classroom and if you know PE is starting in 10 minutes, but this child is showing you that they don't want to pack up the paints because they're really into the painting.
Yeah.
You know, you're handcuffed into, like, I'm going to have to be coercive now because...
And the freedom that we're talking about, I guess, extends to us as leaders as well. So today we have a blackboard where we have some activities that are going to be kind of on offer, and we say it's going to be very child-led, but these are the things. And the group told us last week that they wanted to do some of these activities. And we didn't get to some of them, inevitably, because the children wanted to extend the painting activity, so we didn't get onto doing weaving. But I'm not going to stress about that, because I know I'm seeing that group for another few weeks. You know, we will do that at some point, and I will, you know, I've said we're going to do it because a child requested it, and we will do it, and that's fine, and I don't need to feel worried about that, which is very freeing, isn't it, as a practitioner, that you know you will get around to it. I've definitely noticed, in terms of not necessarily a benefit, well, it ends up being a benefit for the children, but first of all, it feels like a benefit for me personally, that I've been working here in this setting now, this 3 acres of woodland, for 2 years, and I am still noticing brand new things about the site, and it's just exponential. The longer you are in that place, the more things you will notice, and those things might be new, or they might have been happening, or might have been there all the time.
I mean, it's like anything, you just layers and layers of looking at stuff, isn't it? You could pick a tree and go look at it every day, and you would probably see something different on or about that tree. And there's, I mean, it goes back to what I was saying about labelling things, isn't it? Once you label it and go, it's a larch, your brain can sort of shut off and just go, right, it's a larch, park that information, done. And actually taking the time to, like you say, go over it and look at it. I think one of the benefits of long-term sessions is that you do get a chance to see how deep a need can be. So sometimes the amount of children that... so we've got some children that come who want to cook at the weekends. They're very keen on cooking. And first week, you know, it's 20 minutes before we finish and they say, oh, can we do some cooking? And you go, yeah, okay, let's do something really quick, do some popcorn or something. Next week, all right, same thing, 20 minutes before the end, can we do some cooking? Okay, we'll try and do that. And actually, if you realise that they're asking to do the same thing over and over again, you can go, well, okay, that's clearly what you're interested in. So even though you're not going to tell me that you want to cook until 20 minutes before the end, I, at the start of the session, can say, look, I know this is an interest you have. Do you want to do some real in-depth, do you want to make a, I don't know, 5-tier trifle cake thing? You know, and you can just go, where is it? And sometimes you need that freedom to assess it and kind of go like, okay, you're desperate to do this, but whenever we do it, you're not actually that into it. And it, you know, and it is a passing thing, because you, like you say, the kid is almost feeling the pressure of forest school, and so they're going, like, bow and arrows is a one that comes up, I swear, 5 minutes before we finish, almost as a like, oh God, we've been at forest school and we haven't made bows and arrows, that's what we have to do every time, and then...
Well, you know, that's interesting, to, that might be an indication, that whole thing of like, oh my gosh, what, it's nearly home time, but I want to do that thing, is actually, I think, probably an indication of a really great session, because it probably means that those children have been in a flow state for some or even
deep
all of that
flow.
Session, you know, and so time has just disappeared, and the amount of times that happens, it's like you tell, you know, the child asks for another resource and you're like, well, we've got 5 minutes left, it's time to, you know, sit down and collect our stuff, and they just, the look of disbelief on their face that there's only 5 minutes left is a really great indication that they have spent that time deeply immersed in something.
But then being able to say, it's okay, you're here next week, and the week after, and the week after.
Shall we start with that
if
next
you
time?
Want to, And then, but sometimes I think the thing that a lot of people can trip up on is, so say they want to do bow and arrows at the end, and then so the next week you forcibly go, we're going to do bow and arrows at the start.
And they've changed.
They're a completely different person.
Yeah, yeah.
Something different. They, you know, not only could it be as near, you know, as near as they just slept differently the night before and so they don't want to do that, but it could be they've had a really crummy week at school or something else has happened. You know, they're such three-dimensional characters that you can't pause at the end of one session, start the next one, and imagine there's been no time in between.
Yeah.
But that's where the long-term nature of it is such a benefit to seeing who they are and being... Because there's not actually many consistents in children's lives. Mm. And so being...
Well, I'd say that's what I was going to edit of what you just said, is that there are consistent things, but there are consistent things that they have to do. Mm. There are very few things where they definitely know that for those 2 hours, they will get to choose what they do and what they invest in. So I was kind of, you know, you saying that they're going to be different people, that's true, but there are definitely also children that arrive at a session and through what they bring to that session, you can tell they've spent the week thinking about that session and going, obviously you don't know when they've been thinking about it, but I kind of like to imagine them like daydreaming and going, oh yeah, I've got that idea, like on Saturday, I'm going to do this, because they come bringing along resources sometimes, don't they? They're we want to try this, brought this with us. And so that really shows they've got a relationship with Forest School that exists even when they're not here. And that wouldn't exist with a short-term thing, you know. Those, and it's the children that have been coming for 3 or 4 years that have that most, isn't it?
Yeah,
and so that relationship continues even when we don't see them.
And I think it's interesting. So there's a thing, isn't there, about taking toys away, and that it's very difficult to say to a child, you know, like the toy library things where you go, and so you can take a couple of things. Or if you go to like a toddler group, and they get really invested in a thing, and actually, the last 15-20 minutes they might already be thinking, I can imagine playing with this at home. This would be amazing to have at my house.
Yeah.
And so it's a real wrench to just go like, no, you can't have that.
Yeah.
Whereas us being a consistent space, I don't think we've ever turned Well, we don't have children that are really old enough to have to have like a mobile phone.
No.
Because I think that would be the only thing that I might say, that's probably not something to bring to Forest School.
Mm.
Otherwise, we've had kids bring dolls, we've had kids bring fire trucks, toy guns, because...
Toy chainsaw.
But that's such a... But the chainsaw is such an easy connection to, I got a chainsaw, where do I go? I go to Forest School. Whereas, actually being able to... For the children, you know that thing of, I get to choose what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, I could bring this and I could play it there.
Yeah.
It's like an extra layer of freedom. Of not only can you choose from the things that are here, you can bring what you'd like.
Yeah.
And again, if it
musical
was...
Musical instruments they bring as well, don't they? Quite often, to join in with the music.
But then that's where, if it was short term, you might say, oh, well, you can play with your truck at home.
Mm.
Now's a special time to play with the special forest thing. But long term, you're here all the time.
Yeah.
If you want to experiment with adding toy truck into the Forest School mix, how does that work? Cool, go for it. If you want to, you know, cuddly toys. I know kids bring cuddly toys anywhere, but they almost take on a life of their own here, because quite often they're animals, and so they're suddenly in that animal. It's almost like they've come to the animal's home, and oh, this is Flopsy's home, and she lives here, and Should we talk? I mean, there's and then. So I think we've talked about the benefits to us, and I think we've outlined some, but probably not all of the benefits to the children. And then I think there's the third party, which is the parents.
Yep.
And the parents part almost, I would say, has, it's almost like a spider web of interactions. So there's the benefit of the parents having long-term interactions with us.
Yep.
There's the benefit of the parents having long-term interactions with their children here. Mm-hmm. And then there's the benefit of the parents having long-term interaction with the site.
And one another.
So it's four. I think so. The benefit of them getting to know us really well is that the longer we're involved. Yeah. So parents.
Parents.
But I think.
Yes.
I think we kind of talked about parents. Parents being at the session, in the first one. So there's the. I don't know. I think for the parents, like we said, sometimes if they're coming to the groups, it can take them a while to, I don't want to say relax, I'm going to say adjust to the flow of it being how it is. And also, the longer you get to know them, you know, we get to know them, the more able we are to have open conversations with, from what we can see, and they're more able to say to us, this is what we've seen, you know. Yeah, it's a bit like a teacher relationship.
Yeah, completely. And they talk to us about what the children have been saying in the time we've been apart, you know. And they understand the whole, like we do say to them, don't we, at the beginning of, especially if they're new, it's child-led. And so if there is something that your child has been talking about that they've done before and they want to try it again, like obviously we don't know what interests they have begun to talk about like, when they
go home. So what we were saying, that the children come back on a Saturday, different people every week, and they might say, can we do this, can we do this? But actually, until they are very confidently verbal and social, you're relying on the parent to be able to say, you know, this has happened this week, or, you know, and that can be positive news, or it can sometimes be, our family's had this happen this week, so they might be a little bit sensitive about this, or, you know, actually, he's really been painting a lot this week. Any chance we could do some more painting? And then, you know, stuff that you can fill in. And if you were going to somewhere short term, you might feel a bit more, maybe a bit intrusive. If you went somewhere that was, you know, if you go to a, like a country house where they have activities on for the kids, and you went up to the person organising the kids' stuff and said, oh, I know you're doing painting, but would you mind actually if we went, if you took everybody for a walk instead? Because it's short term, you don't have that relationship. It's more of a, you come up and you do it, or you don't. Whereas they know, I think, after a long, a while, they can say, oh, can we fit this in? And we go, of course we can. We've got however many weeks it is. You know, we can attend to so many more needs, and then they start to fill it. And by the, you know, last 2-3 weeks, they're very much giving us the session of like, can we do this, can we do this, and can we do this?
Yeah, and you see that by, like I mentioned earlier, you know, the things on the board, and you're like, didn't get to that, didn't get to that, didn't get to that either, because they, you know, everybody is so much more relaxed and understands that
their suggestions. It's ideal. Right, I think we'll leave that one then. Magic. Okay. Bye.
Bye.